This week, an attempt is made at positivity in the face of terrible, terrible dad nights. One dad fights his way through a gaming convention with his family in tow, and the dads plow through the latest news. This week's Gaming Dad Victory of the Week goes to a father and son duo staying connected through gaming with GTA 5. All this and more on New Dad Gaming. The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
So I worry sometimes that I don't espouse enough of the positive parts of being a dad. I am enjoying this. Like, I want a kid. I want him to be here.
Right.
And, you know, it's just obviously, especially on a show like this, you get a mic in front of you. You're with another dad. And there's adult beverages, theoretically. Although I don't know the last time we've had adult beverages. In truth.
It's more coffee than it is anything, so.
Because, yeah, it's just survival. But of course, the thing you're going to do is vent. Like, this is the podcast equivalent of a therapy couch, right? I'm going to propose it to you this way.
All right.
I would like to submit a positive sandwich. So the way we're going to do this is we're going to start with something good.
Yep.
I'm going to have a bit of a negative part.
Okay.
For the meat, and then we're going to end off with something good.
All right.
So something good. My oldest imagination is going great. Like, it's incredible. Like, it is just blossoming out, and it is just fantastic to see. I mean, because I think back to when I was a kid and just the games you'd come up with your head. Okay, so this plate is a UFO and I'm going to build up some dirt as a runway, or this cup is this, you know, just taking objects beyond what they literally are and seeing him concoct these stories, concoct these games. It's fascinating. It's so fun. And I get to play with it too.
Like, right.
He'll be doing something, okay, and he kind of hints that this thing is supposed to be this type of thing. This is an airplane, for instance.
Right.
And you get to play in that space. You're there, too. And that is just, like, that's a really exciting part. It's kind of rewarding, too, after having gone through everything we've gone through as far as 2.5 years of him, where it's like, good, this is kind of fun now. That's awesome. Do you recall kind of a point when they just turned on that imagination switch?
Yeah, I think right around the age that you're talking about 2, my older son was kind of more into, you know, bristle blocks. Have you ever played with those?
Bristle blocks, not quite.
Bristle blocks. So it's not Lego blocks. It's bristle blocks where it's just basically rectangles and squares that are just a bunch of bristles that intersect each other, and you can kind of stack them any way. And my son took that and made, like, things that you would never think of. So they're kind of there to build houses and stuff, just like regular kind of rectangular shapes. And he was building trains and bridges and robots and spaceships was another one. And these little characters that he would act out little stories with and all sorts of different scenarios that you kind of see the wheels spinning. And then he'd go get other stuff from around the house. So, like, cereal boxes and all this other stuff that was kind of, like, repurposed. And it was awesome to see. Like you said, it's just, you can see the brain kind of lighting up before the world crushes his dreams. And it's really, a cool experience. And then, you get to kind of partake in that and shape it and play with it and have some fun.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of exciting, I think, about the sandbox games. Like, something like Minecraft. Like, it just tapped into it, because it's not like, here is the places you can jump and where you can't jump. It is, here's 1,000 blocks made out of 1,000 items.
Yeah, go do it.
Do it. And no wonder it took off with kids. I mean, I'm kind of jealous that I didn't have this when I was a kid, like the type of stuff you could get into.
Yeah, a lot cheaper too, right?
No. Like, yes. You know, when you try to build a lake with a fire-based boat floating around, it just doesn't quite work in the real world in your backyard. tends to end up in grounding. But so the positive sandwich, it's at this point, it is really awesome to see his imagination just blossom, and it's really fun and rewarding as a dad.
Yeah.
So for a negative part, our nights are a nightmare hellscape from which no hope or happiness ever eludes.
the other side.
The night times are just utter misery by which I can never sleep and never really enjoy myself. But that imagination, though, I tell you.
Yeah. Seems to continue. So.
So the little guy's taking a turn worse. Yeah, he was super chill baby, and we were just absolutely loving it. You could put him down. He would just chill and relax, but now it's not the case. He doesn't want to be picked up, but doesn't want to be put down, and he's super tired, but he doesn't want to sleep. Like, it's just, he's unfortunately going through a bit of a developmental stage, and he's still not, we've been doing co-sleeping, which for us works really well. I think now, though, we're going to have to definitely look into sleep training, because his nights just keep kind of getting worse and worse. And thereby, my nights keep getting worse and worse.
Yes.
And it's just... And then the other one... again, just a development thing. And it just hit perfectly at the same time because he really just got upset with being able to stay in his room. And I mentioned in a previous show, like, we had tried some things where we're kind of locking the door. Really, we took a turn away from that. We didn't like how that was kind of playing out. He was mentioning a couple things... and not so much where he doesn't like it, so we just backed off. It's more that it really didn't seem to be giving him the right impressions, and it seemed to be affecting him a bit.
Yeah.
That exact type method of it. So we kind of went off with that. Then trying some other things. He wanted us to go to sleep with him, so he would only fall asleep if we sleep with him in the bed.
Right.
And that is a tiny, uncomfortable bed. So it really doesn't work for us. So there's progress there as well. But just like the two of them came together, and it's... To lose the nights is especially daunting. Like, envision in your head, like two things you'd like to do. Okay? Just think, you know what? Tonight I would like to maybe do this and this. Okay?
Right.
Got them?
Yep.
Okay, you can't do those.
It's good that you said it, because one of them was napping, so I figured that you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, and that's the crux of it. Just like anything you thought you can maybe get at night, to be a game or baking something or a little bit of cleaning or some work done, those things you can't do because you have this like horrific like nighttime scenario. But
yeah,
going through a process, I think we'll get out of it. But yeah, so nightmare hellscape.
Nice.
So positive.
Yeah.
let's round it up. The kids will eventually go to college.
No. Oh, yeah. They'll be out of the house and in somebody else's problem.
Yeah. No. The the oldest is starting to play with other kids a lot more than he was. At daycare and other places, he didn't seem to have too much of an interest with other kids. That's turned around. He seems to like playing with kids now and kind of seeks them out. And I'll say one of the things, too, is like, so he... A kid kind of in the neighborhood ended up in our house, and the two of them were playing.
And
they don't teach this in dad school, but I mean, it's that really seems to kind of half your work in some ways, because this other being is taking care of him, not taking care of, but he is engaging him,
entertaining him,
he's playing with him, he's keeping him busy, he's tiring him, like he's jamming them around, like they're just running and like flying around. So you're sitting there nodding happily, like, oh yeah, keep running, go. do you find that with your kids, like, that it's when other kids are playing with them, it kind of just takes certain burdens off of you?
Yeah, I would say definitely when they were younger and you had kind of an extra set of hands as well, that it did tire them out. They got like their verbal diarrhea kind of out. They would, you know, blab to the other kid. They would become tired a lot quicker. Now, though, when they're 7 and 4 years old, it's more of a drop-off, so they get their friends coming over, and now I've got an extra kid to take care of that runs around,
an extra life hangs in the balance.
Yeah, it seems like they recharge now versus just depleting, so I would enjoy it. I would hold on to that for a while, and I'll meet you on the other side.
We'll see where that gets up, but so there you go, positive sandwich.
Yes.
Things on the whole are great. But God, I just want to go to bed. I just want to sleep, man.
It's such a simple thing too. You're like, I just need some rest. That's all I want in life right now. And
just to sleep, to go to bed when I want to and to wake up when I want to. That's the crux, you know. It didn't even have to be necessarily a massive amount, just certain agency over my own sleep would be but yourself, how is fatherhood and gaming treating you?
Well, I can rest, so I've had my sleep.
Real nice.
But I was tired this past weekend. The family and I, we decided to go to EGLX in Canada here, which is the largest video game convention in Canada, as the slogan says. And it was both exciting and stressful, I'll say. Like, it takes place at the International Center, where it's kind of a hub of a whole bunch of events going on at once. So we decided to kind of last minute to go to this event. My wife kind of convinced me to go to something like this. I've never actually gone to a video game convention. So we decided to pack the fam and go. And usually we show up pretty early to these kind of things just to get in line, get a parking spot, get everything kind of ready and going before it gets too busy. This was last minute, like I said, so we're kind of leaving midday. We get there. There is no parking anywhere. Like, it is my nightmare. Like, nothing worse than not having, like, not even just a parking spot far away. Like, there is nothing. And with the events going on, you had the EGLX, which is a lot of cosplay people walking around with this kind of monster truck, monster energy event going on with, you know, denim jackets and a whole, like, you know, skulls and crossbones stuff. You have totally, completely opposite sides kind of walking around and parking. So eventually I dropped the family off the front door, as I think most dads tend to do. I'll go find a parking spot. I'll leave them kind of inside. So eventually I did find one. We got in, and man, it was a crazy experience. It was definitely big. There's lots showing. A lot of gaming companies showed up. I was surprised at how well it was kind of pulled off. And the kids just mind blown with the amount of video game screens everywhere, because they're used to, you know, little 3DSs and, you know, my modest TV setup. But this thing was like projectors and CRT screens and all this other stuff. So it was cool to kind of take them through.
Yeah, just the, man, the size and the noise, like that.
Light show.
And just to, like, because, yeah, like you said, like, their exposure to video games would have been just tiny little hand systems, and here it is, massive convention centers, floor to roof, just filled up
with, and like, lights, fog, voices, music, everything going off at once. So
bunch of costumes, no less.
A bunch of costumes, people walking around in costumes, which is just funny that you mentioned that, because my kids were kind of looked at me saying, where are we supposed to dress up? Like, is this something that you're supposed to do? Because they have no idea. So I'm like, no, well, you can.
This Where's is the your place costume, to do kids? That. Oh, no, we have to leave.
We got to go back. That's my escape route. And it's like, no, we got to go home. I'm sorry, we didn't dress up. We're going to be kicked out. But no, they were great for a little while. I think they kind of got overwhelmed at one point. So it was a good hour of taking them around. Nintendo had an awesome showing there. They had a full booth with one of their favorite games, which is Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, which is cool for them to play. And we got to co-op play that all together as a family. And we kind of screwed up the girl that was trying to pitch it to us, because my kids just mentioned to her, oh, no, we've already beat this game. We don't need your instructions. So that was kind of a different experience for her, I'm sure. But yeah, crazy stuff going on. They had like a huge Smash Brothers tournament, which my kids were kind of wondering how you could play video games for money. Which that was for $5,000. So they were kind of interested in that. They wanted to kind of play for money. And the practice makes perfect, kids. So you might want to get into it now, and we'll see you in 5 years. Yeah, I don't know how young they start.
The old dad dream. Yeah, the old dad dream would have been an NBA player, NHL player. Now it's like esports.
No.
Like, okay, I want you to be a champion Overwatch player, damn it.
Yeah.
More video games.
Practice. I need monetization. I need that now. Start earning your way. So no, it was cool to see, again, like lots of games there, even old favorites like Rocket League and Fortnite and PUBG was there, a big Minecraft area for the kids, and cool retro arcade area where they had all the old school Street Fighter arcade systems, and I think they had Contra and all this other stuff kind of going on. So it was neat to see. The kids were kind of blown away at the size of those arcade systems because they're used to like pocket kind of handheld stuff. So it was neat to show them a lot of indie games there too that we were trying out and, you know, talking up to people just to see if we can get some game keys for, you know, New Dad Gaming to kind of review. But we'll see what comes of it. But no, all around it was a good experience. I will say at the end of like an hour and a half, I was like exhausted. I had a pounding headache. Hmm. And usually those conventions, I think you would go to, it's different taking the family. I think if I went myself, I would do just different things. I would maybe sit down, watch the Smash Brothers tournament, you know, kind of maybe do the VR stuff. I didn't feel that, you know, I could kind of do that stuff when the kids are kind of, you know, want to be entertained and taken around. So, and it was packed. Like it was like the crowd in there was pretty big and it was hard to squeeze through people. So,
yeah, and that's definitely a difficult dad thing too, when you take them to something that you are super interested in, because it's that push and pull, because you have your responsibility and you of course need to take care of them. That's first and foremost, but there's just so many things you want to do.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you kids could just be cool, I could go try this thing out because I want to, but
I don't know what it is, but these conventions always feel the need to put in food, like a food area. And my kids always will ask for food. If they smell it, see it, hear a hamburger crunching or something, they will always ask for food. And it's always like a crazy lineup and overpriced. And we always say no. And then they get kind of frustrated and irritable. So they have put a food place in this thing, and it was just something that we're like, you know what, the lineup is crazy long and we can't really do that right now. So that was kind of the end of our trip, was, you know, it was time to go. They were tired and hungry. So,
well, you sir are a brave man for bringing kids to a convention, but I guess what I'd leave with is, would you take them again next year or to something similar?
I think another year might help them. Again, I think maybe it's apples to oranges. It's a different experience with them. I'd want them to participate in something too, I think, because they were kind of just looking around and they don't really know the games yet. So if they could play something, I think they'd be more interested and more entertained with just kind of one or two things versus, you know, 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there, 30 seconds and another thing. So we'll see what happens. And I don't want to kind of drag them along either. They kind of, at the end, it just seemed like it was a little much for them. So we'll see next year. But I don't know, it was a good convention, I will say that. It was well done, well put on. I was kind of expecting bare bones, and they kind of blew my mind in how good it can be in Canada, because I'm used to E3 and all the other stuff in the US. So it was neat, but
perfect.
Very, very stressful. So I want to hear
bad stress.
Something less stressful, and maybe something like a gaming dad victory this week versus stress.
Now that we can definitely find. For in fact, it's time for gaming dad victory of the week. So each week we feature an exemplary gaming dad and often their kids who are doing fatherhood and gaming so well. This week's victory goes to Reddit user Half Deaf Music. And how he uses GTA 5 to stay connected with his son while they're apart. So the gaming father and his partner had separated, and as is sometimes the case with these arrangements, there's visitations that have been set up, there's some distance between the home, all culminating in not necessarily as much time as a father may wish to have to see the kids. But enter gaming.
Oh.
So you see, the son has gotten old enough to play online games. So both the son and the gaming dad pick up a copy of GTA 5. So with an online connection and a little bit of planning, the father-son duo are able to spend time together while they're causing mayhem across the city of Los Santos. So we'll we'll post a link to the post in the show notes here. But they have this in-game selfie of both of their avatars.
Oh, just that's cool.
Just looking at the camera, and there they are, father and son, being able to like romp around together and spend some time together. You know, I think what was especially cool about this too is just the, so often, you know, kind of games are remarked as being frivolous or, you know, just mere entertainment things. And I think what's sometimes missed in that conversation is this opportunity for connection.
Yep.
Right? Like it transcends borders and distances and time zones, like, and everything else. And if you want to get together with somebody and do a little bit more, like, and have an experience beyond just, you know, just a plain phone conversation, which is always there, like, gaming is this fantastic medium for that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and more than that too, I think with the, it's really great about this story. It was really great to have this gaming dad post it, because, you know, separation is very much a reality of our current lives. And the thought that, you know, we can work through those things and then also find these other ways to stay connected and part of the lives of our kids, like, as fathers.
Yeah.
Like, it was fantastic to see. And I think a lot of, like, gaming dads can relate to that one. So that was such a great post. It was so cool to see.
Yeah, I think that's something that we kind of strive to now as a gaming dad. I would hope that my kid would want to play a game with me online when he's in college, and I can just kind of hop online, see him virtually, and just kind of go around in that kind of world. That's a cool interaction, I think. That's something that's different that I don't think our generation has experienced yet. So it's neat. That's a cool thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those two, even, like, out of the context, this particular context, yeah, the thought of any of us gaming dads, when the kid does go off, if the kid likes gaming, and that's something that we share as a hobby, and the kid goes off into the broader world, you know, I don't know about yourself, but, like, I'm fortunate enough that I do have a interaction with my father every now and then, but as far as a phone call. But imagine, like, if it was a weekly gaming session, like,
online,
we're gonna go
game, yeah, yeah,
a little bit of Call of Duty, a little bit of a racing or something, and that's what you're doing with your old man, kind of continuing on this gaming. It reminds me of a previous Gaming Dad victory where the son had gotten the same racing achievement as his dad.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a good story too. Yeah.
Right. And it's just that competition. It's like, okay, the kid posted this score. Okay, I'm going to try to beat it now. And it's just that, it's an opportunity to connect, man, with between father and son. It's really great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's good story.
Hats off to it. Congratulations to the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week recipient, Half Deaf Music, with his use of online gaming to maintain a connection. Keep on gaming. If you'd like to be nominated for the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week Award, or know somebody else deserving, please send along the information to us at our website, newdadgaming.com.
And with that, we go to this week's cheat sheet as we run down the highlights of what happened in the world of gaming. We knew it was coming, but The Division 2 was officially announced by Ubisoft's Massive Entertainment. No other details were mentioned, but sources online say there are close to 1,000 people working on the sequel. We expect to hear more from them in the coming months on where and when this new game will drop, but in the meantime, the developer has pledged to support and deliver updates to the existing Division 1. Another sneak peek at a game was The Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which briefly debuted this week with a teaser trailer. From the looks of it, it looks like Laura will venture through ancient Mayan ruins and will step onto consoles in late September. We hope to see more in April when we are promised a proper trailer. And a character I spent a long time with, one that I thought I'd never ever see again, at least for a while, has come back into my life. Geralt of Rivia, the White Wolf, otherwise known as the Witcher, has been revealed to be a character in the upcoming Soul Calibur 6. He'll be using swords, magic, and wit to combat the Soul Calibur regulars, with the game releasing later this year. And one of the kings of the battle royale genre, Fortnite, has been announced for mobile and is starting to roll out test codes now. That's right, the full game that is currently on PC, Mac, and console will be available to play in its entirety on iOS or Android, thanks to the flexibility of the Unreal Engine. Crossplay will also be enabled, so the people on the go can play against their homebody counterparts, and early streams and reviews are very positive, with the mobile port playing very smoothly online, which is very surprising. Today, you can sign up for the iOS testing through Epic's website, with an Android version coming in the next few months. And a PSA to all gaming dads out there, a PlayStation firmware family update has arrived, which allows parents to control game time and watch time on the individual child accounts on the PS4. The settings will give further control to parents, allowing for different time limits during weekdays and weekends, and even giving notifications to the children playing with their time is almost up. As an added bonus, you can boot your kid from the PS4 remotely through the smartphone or web app. Oh, to be a younger gamer these days. And in case you missed it, Nintendo had another Nintendo Direct. And while the internet took a shot at what could be announced, there were definitely some surprises. Just to give you a quick rundown of all the games that Nintendo announced, there were Undertale, Okami HD, No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again, Octopath Traveler, the Crash Bandicoot trilogy, which is odd to see the Sony mascot on a Nintendo console, and Splatoon 2 single-player DLC, a bunch of 3DS games, which all my kids are excited about, Captain Toad, Luigi's Mansion, and WarioWare, and a Super, Super Smash surprise. Super Smash Brothers was announced and will launch later this year for the Switch. Everybody kind of knew that game was coming, but to have it come so early in 2018, people are already trying to speculate who's in it, who's not in it, and are tweeting Nintendo hoping for more details. So keep it locked here. We'll tell you when we know. On the actual game release front, some notables this week include the Devil May Cry HD Collection, Gollum for PSVR, Kirby Star Allies for the Switch, and Burnout Paradise Remaster launched for the PS4 and Xbox One. That's the gaming cheat sheet for the week. Catch a nap and tune in next time for another update.
So I think one of the questions becomes, does your love of Witcher 3 surpass your dislike of fighting games?
See, you know, viewing that trailer with the music, it has the music and the background and the Geralt. It's kind of like it brings that Witcher vibe to me that I'd almost want to just purchase that game for him. They almost have me. It's very close. Yeah,
as far as like a fighting game too, that's not exactly very well. Not to discredit it, but just it's not very. It's never felt like a true fighter.
No,
fighter game. Fighters, man. How would you say that? Fighting game lovers. Fighting game.
Yeah, it's more of vanilla, right? Like it's
not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not like a Street Fighter. It's not. Yeah, it's not like a Street Fighter. It's not in the more heralded ones. I seem to have a lot of great memories of like the Soul Calibur 1 and 2 back on. Geez, that would have been what, PlayStation 1?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but with the weapons and no, it's just a blast. So I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it could be something you get into just for. Just a little taste of Witcher 3 again. Precious memories.
Maybe, and I don't know. They didn't announce if he was DLC or not, so I don't know if it's base game. So,
yeah, so Division 2 really hit me in a certain way because it's interesting timing just with the current climate of games.
Yeah.
So specifically, like, a lot of pressure would be put on it, I think, in many ways as far as... Gee, it's how to unpack this right. So Division launches to middling reviews. It's not really seen as that great. Bit of that, you can't say flop. That's not fair to say, but it was not the game that people thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So it did not light up like it was supposed to. There was a lot of critiques. But very much like Destiny 1, it slowly kept patching. It slowly kept building. It slowly kind of got better and better and better until... If you looked at reviews now or kind of recent games, like people are into this game. Like it's really come into its own.
Yeah.
Kind of built into what it's supposed to be. Like finally, after all this time. And then now they've announced this. This is the second one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then to continue that Destiny analogy, Destiny 2 is in a world of hurt at this point. Like the player numbers are not very strong. Like there's a really strong critique within the community. It's by no means dead, but it's not necessarily as strong as would have been expected.
Right.
And so much of the critique was they've forgotten what made Destiny 1 so great, finally.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've already done this whole route of, like, bad first launch, and then they eventually long-term make it good.
Yeah. And really, like, with those games, again, I'm not so much into them, but I find that a lot of the sequel, like, at least with Destiny 1 and Destiny 2... It's kind of a persistent world that I don't know how much has changed for a whole new game to come out Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can add to it and patch to it and offer DLCs. It seems like that was what they were going to do for 5-10 year cycle, they kind of claimed. Mm-hmm. And then they jump on to sequels and likely a third one and a fourth one. But with Division 2 coming out, and, you know, the recent controversy with Battlefront 2 and loot boxes and all sorts of other stuff kind of going on, like, are they going to launch with the same problems kind of Destiny 2 had along with the loot box stuff, or are they going to try and clean everything up and not have that in and have a game that is kind of going to live up to the hype? I'm not sure a game in that kind of space has done that yet as a sequel. Yeah. So
yeah, it could really be. I mean, it either is the, man, what's this? Is it an albatross you wear around your neck? What is the name of that? Because then there's a weird saying, something about putting around. It's either the bird and like the terrible thing it wears around its neck, where it's like, this is just another microtransaction profit center.
Yeah.
Or perhaps it's the ante. Maybe it comes out and it says, no, there is no significant gameplay affecting DLC in this game. Like, this is the ante version of that. This is a pure game. We've continued the lessons and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Because I think if I recall from previous shows, like, you had some level of hype for the game.
Yeah, and it was very, like, the original trailers and the lead up to it looked like a very cool world to kind of explore. It was almost, it gave me like the Grand Theft Auto 5 vibe. Like, it was this online world. You were like going through these dilapidated buildings and kind of investigating this storyline with other people. But when it launched, it was very underwhelming. Things were broken in it. It didn't really have all the polish it had in those trailers, which, again, that's something that can come out with games. You know, they show off something that is not built on a console or not something you'll get in the end. And it was again underwhelming, I think, and I never got into it just because of the state it was in when it launched. And then by the time they did patch it up to where it is now, where people are, you know, were dedicated and now playing it, I've kind of moved on. So they really need to kind of hit the ground running, have everything in order, and hopefully pare back a lot of that loot box stuff. I think they'd be insane to introduce that stuff with everybody kind of having eyes on that. Mm-hmm. If they came out, you know, fresh, nothing's in it, I think they would kind of, that would be a plus for them and they'd get more people in the game and play off that, and then introduce your story DLC or whatever else you have to do to make, you know, whatever money you were planning on making with the loot boxes. But I don't know. It's interesting that they would announce so early too, because I don't know how far off this is going to be. Like, 1,000 people working on it, supposedly. That's a lot of people.
that should just take 3 weeks. That's so many people.
Yeah. So it just seems like, is that a lot of art assets being created? Is that a lot of world building? What are all those people doing?
Yeah, that number is a little unfathomable. That's massive.
Yeah. So, just the amount of investment in that game. So here's hoping. I always hope for the best and see what kind of comes out with it. It's always good to have a good competition rather than everybody go, you know, the microtransaction route and have everybody kind of like, that's the new standard. It would be nice to see somebody clean that up.
Oh, well said. And I think for a game that is supported only by microtransactions with Fortnite. So I signed up for the beta. Like, if I can get on my phone.
Oh, you did.
Now, it just feels, that seems like such a great dad game. Or it could be. I'm not into it yet. I've never played it, but the thought that entire game, with all of its hype, everything it is, the entire game in its entirety, great sentence. The entire game will be on your phone.
Yes.
That seems unbelievable. And just especially since that's so great for a dad. Like, it's not, you're not a separate part of the house with your TV or your system or your computer. Like, it is just the thing in your pocket, has access to one of the, what is such a highly loved game in the market right now.
Yeah.
And I think the format lends itself to dad, like the dad life. Cause I haven't played it, so I can't speak to it, but it's, since it, you versus 100, you're trying to be number one.
Yeah.
In some ways that one match doesn't really matter. It would kind of suck if you're like one of the last three and you have to ditch because your kid is crying. But still, like, there's just so many matches all the time. It seems like Ultimate, you could bounce if you had to. Quick in, get in, get out. Like, the match is going to last, I don't know. I can't speak to how long they last. I can't imagine they last more than 30 minutes.
No, they don't. I've played a bit on the PS4, and they're pretty quick matches, especially if you're not very good at it, which I am not. But, you know,
there was one game. The faster you can play.
the one game, my teammates, you can have, like, groups, like squads go in, which is great because they are much better than me and helped me get to the very end. So it was kind of exciting when you're at the end and you have only 3-4 people left and the storm or whatever moves in to kind of crush you guys together. You're kind of like on the boundaries of that, and, you know, gunplay all going at once. It can get very intense, and for that to be on mobile kind of sounds like a cool idea, especially if, like you said, it's the whole game. Like, there's nothing left out. And I'm hoping if you can kind of have one login too, that would be kind of cool. Like, whatever I do on my PS4 kind of carries over.
Oh yeah. So no, it's, as part of when I signed up for the beta, one of the things said is like, make sure you send us your username so that we can carry over any of your progression and skins.
Yeah. Oh, that's even better. That's like, they've already thought of that, which is perfect. Cause anybody that buys stuff on the PS4, again, like their microtransactions are all cosmetic. So anything that transfers over to your phone, that's awesome. Like, pick up and play. You shut the PS4 off and go get groceries.
If this, even if the game isn't your jam, I think everybody can appreciate that. Like, if this works well, this is a real shot at the future as far as what gaming is and where you do it. And then how accounts kind of like move over. So you have the couch experience, you have buy something there, you're on the go, you have a few minutes, so you pop open your phone and you're playing that same game.
Yeah.
Like, man, that's all. This is a sweet future.
Yeah, that is. And it kind of vindicates, I think, even Sony dropping the Vita just with as a portable handheld. I think more likely smartphones and tablets might be the way to go, where developers can get their games running on that system. Yeah. So we'll see what that does.
For that to be entirely true, I would like to see them actually do something with mobile. Gaming.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, hold on, we'll back a bit. Their remote play, does that work on mobile phones? I don't think so.
PS4, no.
Yeah, no. That's just like, all right. I thought that was something else.
No.
Never mind. Well, I mean, they have PlayStation Go.
Yeah, I think...
That you can play on TVs and other systems. I don't think mobile, though.
No, and I think in the beginning of remote play, they did have their Sony phones working with remote play, if I do remember correctly. And then it was obviously the Vita could do it, but
poor Vita.
Done.
But a mobile system that did work with the Switch. I guess one of the questions that it just seems like such a phenom at this point, and I've led you all along a little bit, but I'll still ask you the question like this because it kind of came up in my mind before. Mm-hmm. A gaming dad approaches you. Or let's say someone who aspires to be a gaming dad.
Right.
They don't currently own any system. So, okay. And they have all of the options. So this is a gaming father who wants the game, and he can do Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, or PC. Like, okay. what would you recommend to somebody just getting into gaming?
See, I think right away I would probably think the Switch.
Like, yeah. It seems like it's for, especially for a gaming dad.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't see any other way to, why would you suggest anything else for them? Like, unless they had some, especially for him just getting in without any like previous pedigree as far as like, oh, I like this game. That's an exclusive.
Yeah. Like, no, I definitely think the Switch, and because they've kind of hit it out of the park in terms of their first party and third party support. Like, they've already got the Marios and Zeldas out. They've got the Mario Karts on there. They're going to get Metroid on there. This year's Smash Brothers. So you got the big ones, and then you have the third-party support. So you have all the other, you know, Crash Bandicoots coming, Undertale, Okami, all the other ones I mentioned that are well-supported. Even having Skyrim and Doom on there is nuts. Like, so you kind of get in both crowds. So you have some of the hardcore gaming stuff, and then you have the family-friendly. So and then Nintendo,
you have too many controllers that can play Mario Kart, like, yeah, wherever you are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Which is perfect, and it's a very family-friendly console. Like, a lot of that stuff is all built into the operating system, where it's easy to navigate. It's, you know, easy to pick up and play and put into rest mode and take with you. So definitely, if you're like going into gaming, Nintendo would be one to start with.
Man, it is getting kind of hard not to validate a purchase of one of these systems now. There's just so many good games.
I'm
trying to avoid it because it's just, I got the VR set. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm in a good spot with games.
Yeah.
Let's go, not go nuts, but man, that system. Breath of the Wild, man. Odyssey. Mario, yeah, Odyssey.
Oh, man. Yeah, I wish I could play Mario Odyssey and Zelda. Just, I've watched countless streams on that stuff, and it just looks like a total sandbox of fun.
Yeah, especially Zelda. Like, Zelda just looked so incredible. And Mario, yeah, seemed like such a love letter to Mario fan and gamers.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
ugh, yeah, it gets tricky.
We'll get there. Maybe at a garage sale, we'll pick one up.
If they can hit a price drop for next Christmas, I don't, yeah, know. See, I think you have the better route, because with two gaming-age children, you can make, yep, the pitch that, like, listen, like, this is the most family-friendly gaming system out there.
Oh, totally. I have planted that seed.
And also Doom.
Yeah. You kids want this for Christmas, right? Because I think Santa might get it for you. I'm not sure.
Listen, kids, I don't want to sway your decisions at all, but let's just say I've talked to the guy in red, and if you ask for a Switch, you might get it. Wink, wink.
The guy in red is Mario. Don't worry about it. I got him.
It's like, yeah, why do the kids' Christmas list look a lot like your handwriting, Jeff?
And you're asking for nothing. It's weird. Why
also
is that?
Scotch? Like, what is this?
Yeah. One can only hope.
Oh, one could imagine. But I think that will do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and any other podcasting service. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter as well. If you have any show notes, ideas, questions, anything at all, please do reach out to us. We do the show weekly and would love to hear from you, especially with a rating, a subscription, and a pass along to a father who games. Until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
See you next week.
See you later.